SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Friday. Race fans, Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. Listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com. And everybody kind of watching the tropical storm activity. Yeah. Well, hopefully it comes and goes. And certainly for tomorrow, they're off the turf in New York today, which is not a surprise, but undoubtedly tomorrow, the Belmont Derby, the Belmont Oaks, you run races for $1 million and for $700,000, we're going to run those on the turf. So that's the way we'll handle it. Other things will, you know, pick five and so forth, we'll have to be on our toes, I think, for tomorrow. Up and down the Eastern Seaboard, there's been a little too much of this here the last 10 days, but you know what? If it's going to happen, let it get out of its system. And in fact, it looks for a good portion of, you know, the early part of next week, as we begin to really look in earnest at Saratoga opening day Thursday, not a great looking early part of the week. But that's not going to inhibit anybody when it comes to opening days of the Saratoga season. So we'll just hope for the best. And in fact, all early next week and into, frankly, Thursday and Friday, nothing you can do. I've been trying to actually just spend a good portion of yesterday trying to figure out how to manage next week, because opening day Thursday, we'll broadcast from the track, and then I think we're going to have to head out right away. And head down to Monmouth, broadcast from Monmouth on Friday. Talked to Tom Lucci yesterday down there, and, you know, the Haskell shaping up nicely. It's going to be crazy, actually, these first 4 days of the meet, because we'll come down and be at Monmouth for Friday, Saturday, but then turn right around and come back. We got the kickoff to the TV season with Seth, with Loose on the Lead. As it is, I'm going to miss the last 2 weeks of the broadcast season on Capital OTV because of the trip to California and to Vegas for the contest for NHC, and I'm just realizing, actually, I will be around, I guess the Sunday with Labor Day being so late, I guess we'll be able to do the last show, the 5th, September 5th, so we'll do six out of the eight. What is it? Let me see here. I'm clueless. This is the worst part of coming out of vacation, because this thing is staring you right in the face. So it's on the doorstep. I got the weekend to figure it out and be prepared for the rapid fire. And certainly yesterday, the conversation with Joe Clancy, I got a lot of feedback. People excited. You can tell. So we've been saying that it's pretty clear. So we're going to have to muddle through some weather, but We've got a wonderful summer ahead, and that includes, frankly, a big agglomeration of personalities assembling in Oceanport. John Parada is coming up. Next week we'll talk to John about his new book. Absolutely have to get everybody excited. John has come back with another, and reach for it right here. At the End of the Bar and Other Stories, John Parada's latest. So we'll talk to John. We're going to see John and his wife now, Maggie. And I talked to Lou Raffetto yesterday. We'll see Lou and Franny. And when you hear from Hammer, Hammer's been up in Wyoming. He's like a human version of Buffalo. He's marauding the plains. So we'll talk to Hammer today. Hammer's coming to Jersey, to his old haunts. And so it should be, it'll be a festive week next week between Saratoga opening and Haskell. And, I mean, just to look ahead a tiny bit, how heavy-handed the opening moments of the summer, the racing summer, is going to be. In addition, you got the quick call and the Schuylerville on opening day at Saratoga. Then you come back on Saturday, or on Friday, I should say, opening day at Del Mar for the Oceanside, right? They'll run the Forbidden Apple at Saratoga that Saturday, in addition to the Haskell card next Saturday, which... will include the Molly Pitcher and the Monmouth Cup and the United Nations, the matchmaker. I mean, terrific. You've also got Arlington with the American Derby, the Arlington Stakes, the Hatouf, and the Modesty. Del Mar, San Diego Handicap, first Saturday of the meet, and the Oceanitas. Unbelievable. And, of course, the Diana and the Sanford next Saturday. I mean, this you better be ready, right? All right, we'll do everything we can to be focused in for next week. A couple of things laying out the schedule, and a couple of news and notes that we should slip in. A reminder: we'll talk to Dave Grenig at the top of hour two, and to Nick Tamaro top of hour three, and New York top of mind for the tomorrow, the Belmont Derby Challenge. Again, I'll remind everybody, I mentioned it yesterday, but a $3,000 online only contest tomorrow. All right, 2,000 bankroll, 1,000 prize, and two NHC seats for next January, and also a $10,000 Belmont Stakes Challenge for next year as well. All right, and you've got to register by 5 o'clock today. So I'll put a couple of reminders in on that as we get going. Ed DeRosa, going to get to Ed first this morning, so we can do a little postscript to his trip to Indiana on Wednesday. Get his thoughts. He went up. Sure looked like he had a fun time. He actually went for. Seemed like, I think, two days of the action in, including Tuesday as well as Indiana Derby Day. And actually, I haven't let him know, but we're going to call Kevin Kirstein. KK, if you happen to be listening, I want the two of them. The two of them both took the best advice they could receive from me and went to Shapiro's on, I think Ed went Tuesday and Kevin went Wednesday. So we'll get a official independent confirmation of how wonderful Shapiro's is. Ron Gierkenk will get caught up from the last really 2 weeks plus, really, at Woodbine, and they've got a nice couple of days that very much worth your attention. The Celine tomorrow, and the Fury as well. The Marine and the Queenston on Sunday. So things are really, they're really underway at Woodbine. So, and as I look at the Woodbine card for tomorrow, right behind it, I have the Lone Star. They've got Stars of Texas card tomorrow. Starts at 3 o'clock Eastern. I want to slip that in. You've got five stakes tomorrow, $75,000 and $100,000 stakes. Got a nice $500,000 worth of Texas bread action. You got auction stakes, and you got Texas breads. You got a nice 11 race card at Lone Star. Let me slip that in. And, of course, it's Delaware Handicap Day tomorrow, and it's a bittersweet one with Rich Glaser, the first one he'll miss, the first one really that in terms of, you know, broad presentation without him, and the absence will be, I'm sure, will be noted and felt, but nice card at Delaware, which will, I'm sure everybody will have a couple of thoughts between Ed and Nick later. And of course, I told you yesterday, the pick five cross country, the three stakes in New York, you know, the Oaks Derby and that victory ride, which is really good. Really good. Anxious to hear some opinions on that front, because I think there's several ways to go. And then the two graded stakes at Delaware, the Kent, which starts the whole sequence at 3:15 is the first leg of the cross country. And then the New York races, and then the Del Cap at 5:15. Del Cap runs virtually immediately after the Belmont Derby. So it's about a two-hour spread tomorrow for the sequence. Anyway, Dave Greinig as part of that coverage as well with New York, and we'll get sort of the Belmont summary for the season, as everybody prepares and already, you know, have sent horses up and sent beachheads up to Saratoga, backside, and the Oklahoma and surrounding neighborhood, of course, you know, some of those little tiny barns that are stuck in nooks and crannies on either side of the racetrack. We'll talk to James Scully, get some plays from James. Well, Hammer, I mentioned, who's traveling and coming back, I think, to California, and he's got a million irons in the fire, including, of course, getting ready for. I mean, it's hard to believe, but you look to September and Kentucky Downs, and we'll find out. I'm not sure when he's leaving. He's got all kinds of trips planned. He's coming to Saratoga. He's I've told you he's coming to Monmouth, we got to talk about the Oaklawn. I'm anxious to hear, because he did tell me. I talked to him yesterday, and he told me there was a lot of back and forth, and you know, the Oaklawn management trying to massage the best the best schedule possible, you know, between the December opening and all the potential that dictates, and then the decision to move up the Arkansas Derby 2 weeks to be 5 weeks out. So we'll get some behind the scenes, behind the curtain from Hammer on the Oakland decisions. We'll talk to Papo as well, Papo Morales. And I didn't get a chance. I'm sure I'll mention it with Papo later. But, he and I, he put up the form to win charting. And Mr. Wireless, very prominent on that front, and there were a couple of very good ideas from Form to Win Wednesday. So we'll get some plays as well from Papo this week on Form to Win. And you know, now that we're back running, we also, Form to Win, about to have a refresh and even a bigger improvement to the interface of the app. All right? So we'll talk about that, too, in coming weeks, and we'll use plenty of Form to Win analysis during Del Mar and Saratoga. Slip in one stake today. There's a two-year-old filly stake at Belterra, FYI, 329. The Jim Morgan Memorial, the ta-da, five and a half furlongs. For Ohio Breds and the Tim Ham team, quite prominent with a three-horse entry in there, Blazing Meadows and Windstar, etc. So it's been a busy week when it's come to stake action, and even yesterday at Delaware, actually, you had the Sussex, and it was a good race. Mark Schumann with Copper Penny, actually, Try for Gold, nice price too, $16.80 yesterday, and beat the favorite, beat the 6-5 favorite, Cannon's Roar. That was yesterday at Delaware. I have hesitated all week to provide minute-by-minute coverage details of the Bob Baffert Naira court case. However, on Monday, it'll come to a head before the magistrate, as it were, the judge that's handling this. And there has been a couple of, it's been on a day-to-day basis, there's been missives from both sides. And Naira's attorney asking that the Baffert side, their affidavit, be not accepted as admissible. But yesterday, in fact, the judge said that it absolutely is admissible, and the two sides will argue on Monday. So there's really no point to to be reporting this on a like I said, minute by minute basis. All right, we'll see where it goes next week. It does feel, when you read the some of the details from Baffert's camp, it does seem like he's got a very strong argument here about due process. It really feels that way. I'm speculating. We'll see next week, and probably, you know what that means. It means an Alan Foreman visit, right? you can't talk legalities in racing without Alan. Ed DeRosa is going to join us, and we'll get started. The rest of the action that we'll save. There's nothing pressing beside the excitement building. I will mention too, though, the sale on Monday that'll break running with the horses of racing age. Actually, I did notice one thing while we wait for Ed. The names, I saw a couple of names that were added. It's one of those sales that, horses pop in, and you might even have a couple that turn up out of the weekend. But, you knew about Stiletto Boy and out of the Ohio, out of the Iowa Derby. But Hozier coming off of a win. Hozier is going to change hands in the sale. And also that Josie that won the Iowa Distaff on Saturday. So always the horses of racing age sale will be interesting. Chance for ready-made horses, and why not get to that, like the $100,000, like the $100,000 claims, right? Having an instant an instant barn. So, all right. Well, Casey trying to raise Ed, and not. We got a full. all right, then let me. You know, it's funny. I got this new phone, and while we were on vacation, I guess I can regale you with a couple of vacation things. I forget. Tina and I, we had something we had to go do, and we passed a Verizon store, and you know, they've been sending me messages that I was due for a new phone, and so I got it, and it. For the most part, it's wonderful, but it's like it forgot everything my other phone had learned. They call it a smartphone. If it was that smart, it would be able to, like, for instance, the memory on when you go to type things. Like just now, in fact, I was just typing to Casey, you know. Reach for Ed DeRosa, and it's changing DeRosa's name. I mean, my old phone was so good that it even capitalized the R in Rosa. This one, it changed DeRosa to Deride, which there's probably a gag there. He's ready for his case. He just sent me back a note. He apologized. So, but no, it's crazy. So I've got to teach this phone all the words, you know, and when it comes to, and I'm sure everybody in the equine world, in the equine universe, has the same experience where your phone, you know, you put in horse names or you put in something that's equine terminology, and the phone just is determined to change it. So now I've got to teach the phone all these new, you know, all these new things. It's ridiculous. Ed, good morning.
Good morning. Sometimes the reverse is true. Like, I can't spell Pharaoh correctly anymore.
Well, that's another hazard, right? Or deputed and testimony. pretty
Absolutely.
Funny. Well, I was excited. I was delighted that you went to Indiana, and it sure looked like you had a great trip.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun being up there, and they did a good job bringing out a crowd. As these, you know, big events that the tracks always do, they market it, and Indianapolis showed up, and I think the late post time ended up helping a little bit. The rain got out of the way, and definitely a robust crowd for that back half of the card, and it's definitely a track I enjoy going up to. They, you know, as I told Anthony Stabile last night, I feel it's one of the Racinos where you know it's a racetrack, or at least that there's one there. So that's always good to see.
Yeah, it shares that a little. Have you been to Remington?
I have not, but I'm got some things cooking with Twin Spires that hopefully will get me down there this year.
Because that it's got a very similar. To me, it had a very similar atmosphere and sort of layout as Remington, and you know, at Remington, that includes the casino having a observation deck overlooking the racetrack. I mean, which is a rarity. A lot of these the quote unquote Racino style. You know, doesn't want anybody to know that there's racing going on.
Right. No, and I won't name names, but I've been to two in my mind in particular where I mean, for me, even knowing terminology and signage to look for, et cetera, had a difficult time finding the racetrack.
yeah, that I actually had trouble. I had trouble in Indiana trying to get back to the through the casino to get back to the parking lot. I it was sort of like a It was sort of like a whirlpool. Yeah, I like walked around the perimeter and then got, you know, redirected. And then next thing I knew, I was like, wait a minute, I'm on the other end again.
That happens to me at the Wynn every time.
Yeah, that's fair. That's what, because that's like the yellow brick road at Wynn.
That's by design, I'm sure. But
yes.
Yeah, that place, I mean, I always plan an extra 15 minutes just to walk out because I know I'm going to end up deeper in the bowels than when I started.
Well, before we talk racing, including the features from Wednesday, gotta ask about your Shapiro's experience.
Wonderful. I would say my big miss. I feel like I should have gotten a different soup. I kind of choked a little bit with all the options and didn't want to get myself in a Seinfeld situation because some people were starting to come in and needed to make a decision and went with the soup of the day. But wouldn't mind having that one back. But the corned beef and the deviled eggs were as good as I could possibly imagine.
The one part of that experience and the other you know deli Midwestern deli cafeteria is Manny's, where you go through the line and the problem is that you know you come in with one certain thing in mind, but then you know you see half a dozen other things, especially the hot foods, because you'll see stuffed cabbage and you'll see whatever. I mean, all different wonderful things that you'd say. Ooh, well, then you say I'll get it next time, but then the next time it's been so long for me anyway. I got to have the corned beef again anyway.
Right. Well, no. I mean, I even texted you like, what the heck am I supposed to get here? So, you know. But I also thought it was pretty devilish of them that they put the dessert first.
Yes, well, that's a tradition at cafeterias. Manny's is L-shaped as opposed to long and straight. But for those that haven't had the Midwestern experience, you go from Izzy's in Cincinnati to Shapiro's in Indy to Manny's in Chicago. It's the triple crown, and we're not talking about corned beef that's quote unquote good for you know Cincinnati, Indy, and Chicago. It's out of this world. I mean,
yeah,
all three.
No, it was fantastic.
All three.
Now, I think I've asked you before. I forget. Have you been to Corky and Lenny's in Cleveland?
No, I have not. But that should be. You know what? That should be added. I absolutely should.
Yeah, I mean, it's been since before I was in college, so I'd like to think my palate has progressed since then. So I don't want to go too over the top, and even as its detractors, admittedly, as most of the popular places do, but that seems to be the hot spot on Cleveland's east side, or was anyway.
Well, I was too young. My aunt lived in Shaker Heights. My aunt Florence, but whenever we visited, I mean, that's got to be pre 1970, so I was 10 and under, and then they moved, then they came back to New York and Kings Point, but Roslyn. Roslyn, you got Ben's, which is out of this world, and down in Florida too, my experience going to, when I moved to Cincinnati and finding Izzy's, and I got to Cincinnati in 82 or 83? Graduated in 82, went to New York. I must have gotten there it must have been still 82, late 82. So Izzy Cadets was still alive. And there was a suburban location, but the location downtown on 4th Street and Central, maybe? 4th and Central? Or 4th and Vine? It was like something out of a movie. A handful of tables and a long counter. And Izzy sat at the register at the end of the counter and was a major character. And some would perceive him as unfriendly, but that was unfair. He could be surly, though. And you would go up to the register, and they didn't make out a ticket. They didn't make out a check, a bill of fare. You got to the register, and Izzy would say, "What'd you have?" And you'd say, I had corned beef, I had coleslaw, and a soda. You had soup. I saw they bring you soup. Izzy, I didn't have soup today. I put you down for soup. You get it next time. And what are you going to say?
Right.
He was such a character. And my buddy
Sounds
Doug.
Like a cash-only joint.
At that time, it probably, in the early 80s, it probably was. And
yeah.
it was also kosher. And as I wrote you, because you had Swiss cheese.
I did.
And you can get a Reuben there. But when I started going to Shapiro's, they were kosher only. So no cheese on the meat. And my buddy Doug asked if he had a meatloaf. The meatloaf was good, and their burgers were good. They did this sort of round burger, and he asked for a cheeseburger, and Izzy heard him, and Izzy gave him a dressing down. And Doug would never, later on, after that, I couldn't get Doug to go. He was really insulted and embarrassed. Izzy's, "What do you think this is, McDonald's?" That's what he would say. I played softball with his son Mike actually as well, and I loved Cincinnati. I was working for Cannon Mills at the time, and we had a distributor called H. Zussman, which was right below, I guess I'd say 4th and Walnut, and one of the principals at Zussman, it was his family that owned Shapiro's. And so when I would go to Indianapolis, and I used to have to go to Indy to call on a chain called Danner's 3D. And, you know, you probably remember Gold Circle out of Columbus?
Oh, absolutely.
I called on Gold Circle, too, and Hart's Big Bear.
Well, Big Bear was still around even when I was in college.
Pretty funny. I called on all of those chains, Elder Beerman, and you know, I was selling towels and sheets and towels for Cannon Mills. But when I would go to Indy, I got treated like royalty because, and I'm going to forget his name. He was so nice. I had such a great experience. That was
I've definitely gone down the nostalgia rabbit hole of like Gold Circle, Zayer, Hills. All those kind of mini mall off-brand department stores.
Well, it was the what we called mass merchants, and my counterpart, she called on all the department stores. She got to call on Kaufman's and on Shillitoe Reich's and you know. All the upscale joints, I've told you this, and you don't, you might not make this connection, but that's how I know about Manchester and London, Kentucky, because I used to have to go down to call on the Island Creek Coal Company, and we would sell them our big mass merchant line, which was called the Santa Cruz. It was the most popular towel design in textile history. Well,
a lot of connections.
It's pretty funny. I've been, and Ed's wife is from that area, and I always got the affectionately known as Dog Patch. And
that's right. We've been talked about Dog Patch.
Yeah, that's how I know. That's my connection. I've been vamping here and kind of stretching the Shapiro story because I wanted to get Kevin Kirstein on here, and instead we're going to talk about him in absentia, Ed.
Well, I understand that he didn't make it. He was a scratch.
No, he went on Wednesday.
He didn't make it to the races if he drove all that way and just had lunch.
and that's something. He's in a meeting. He's going to apologize. Well, he's going to get beaten senseless in here. He
yeah,
sends
that,
me
because I even told him I went up Tuesday, And, you know, that night I texted him and said, look, I want to go back, so let me know when you're coming through town. And you know, I mean, normally I don't double up, like, you know.
Well.
But then he didn't make it, and I ended up doing that cafe. I had breakfast, and then ate at the track. So, I mean, it worked out, but, yeah, he missed out.
Well. He's not allowed back there, and not only is he ruled off of Shapiro's, he's ruled off about for I'm giving him at least a 60-day suspension, and when he goes back to Philly, he can't go to Herschel's in the Reading Terminal Market, and I'm going to make sure that Honey's Sit and Eat, that Honey's doesn't let him in either. He sends me a picture of a corned beef sandwich on white bread.
Not me.
Not you. You, to your credit, you wisely got the hand cut. You know, they do hand cut rye bread as they do at Manny's. My only response is that white bread. And he acknowledged that it was. And not only did he get the corned beef on white bread, he also got cheese, and I don't begrudge the cheese because I'll have a Reuben sandwich with the best of them, or a Rachel, the turkey Reuben.
Right.
But it's got to be on rye bread, and it's got to be Swiss cheese. He not only gets corned beef on white bread, he gets what looks to be either cheddar or American cheese. I'm so horrified, I cannot begin to express how horrific this is.
Mm.
It's a violation. His Jew card has been revoked. 60 days. He got
Come
Dr.
Back.
Brown. I do see. Looks to be either a whitefish. Looks like maybe a whitefish in the background. Maybe some points for the whitefish, but I give you credit, Ed. I'm not too many points off for Swiss cheese because you did. But
I did ask the gentleman helping me if that would be a tourist move and should I get it without the cheese, and he said his Swiss is acceptable.
So, marginally. You also scored points for the lentils. And actually, the lentil soup, there's obviously a parallel here. If we had Kevin, he basically turned into Esau with this. So I couldn't believe it. I'm going to have to work on him. All right. So that's our Shapiro story.
And lentil was one of my favorite horses to root for.
I don't know if I remember lentil.
Roy Lerman trained.
Oh, you know what? Now that you say Roy's name, okay.
And I just have a very distinct memory of a race on the turf, and for whatever reason, we all bet that horse at Thoroughbred Times, I think, because Tom Law loved betting Roy Lerman and always said he would come at a price, and I just can still hear Tom Durkin in my head, here comes lentil.
That is funny. You know, Andy Serling's another guy that is very respectful of Roy Lerman. Roy can send him out, and we'll be watching at Saratoga. He'll have a Saratoga starter or two. He's had 21 starters so far this year, Yeah, he's dead. I'd forgotten about lentil.
I forget the name of the horse, but he had a first-time starter a few years ago that won, but got DQ'd at a huge number.
Yes, that's right. That's right. That was a Saratoga.
He's an auto bet for me if he's 20-1 or higher.
Yeah, no, he's you know, he's quieted down in the last couple of years, but. He could sneak him in, no doubt about it. Well, final impressions of what we saw. What did we learn, Mr. Wireless, and the performance of Soothsay? I mean, after leaping at the start, that was some effort by her.
Absolutely, and I felt kind of, you know, I thought I used her, but, you know, Malloy and Lil Tootsie just kind of offered a price that I elevated them in terms of who I most wanted to win. But after seeing that, you know, you probably could have made a very easy case, considering she was the second choice and not even the favorite. For those who believed in her talent, a single there, I would have to think, easily unlocked that pick six. Because if you singled her, that could have let you go a little deeper than Folsom, for sure. And, you know, you got, I think it was 2,200. So, yeah, she, in my mind, she was the key to the day, and I missed by thinking a few could win that race, but she was clearly best.
I did not. I like Bill. You know, Bill Downs and I talked about it on Tuesday, and he did not like the West Coast horses. And when I sat down and did, you know, final analysis, I used them as bees very defensively. But I also did not. I did not think that the West Coast runners. I thought they had to speed up to, you know, to compete. And you know, the way she did it, and you know, the race did not come back fast. For those that didn't see it, I think it was a 77 buyer, I want to say.
Yeah, and I haven't seen the Brits, but I will say, I mean, considering who was second, the 40-1 filly, and the way Soothsay ran, I could upgrade in my mind, you know, sort of the final number, and I haven't seen Craig's figures to see what she ran late. You know, that would be the key for me. If it was just par late, then that kind of tells you, well, she was always the best and was going to win. But if she exceeded par, then at least, you know, you in my mind, when I look at races like that, I could say, well, she, you know, when she finally got to run, she was faster than you would expect for the level. So we'll see going forward, but tough to deny the grit there.
Absolute. And then for the boys, I mean, I don't think Mr. Wireless was, you know, a shocking winner by any stretch. However, I watched the replay again yesterday. The way he's running away from them late is very impressive.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I just thought, why is Folsom here? How can he lose this race? To Scott and James' credit, they were both nervous about the pace, which ended up playing out. And I was live in the pick six multiple times, so I sat on my hands for the race, singled the Folsom. And when I saw that Garrett O'Rourke was there, I thought there was no chance that this horse was losing. When Garrett O'Rourke found out it was the first time he's ever been to Indiana Grand, and I'm just thinking, you know, they want another track on the wall, I guess. And obviously it didn't work out. But those last two races from Mr. Wireless are, I think, legitimate. I mean, he's legit.
Well, I reached out. I mentioned yesterday, I reached out to Mr. Kerber, and hope to get him next week, because to me, it's a remarkable story and accomplishment. Two broodmares in your band, you breed to Shackleford and Dialed In, and you end up within 6 days of each other having produced a Iowa Derby and Indiana Derby winner. It's unbelievable.
Very impressive. And those are, I mean, that's why this show and what few of others, unfortunately, I wish there were more, but, you know, putting in the time to notice that and reach out to people, it's huge for the game and so encouraging to other breeders. So I'll definitely look forward to that conversation.
And everybody tells me, I heard Mark Toothaker responded to the little note I put up on Wednesday night, and others have chimed in too, including at Rose Hill, where I guess the mares and with the babies have been raised, and just delighted for the Kerbers, and you know what nice people they are, and so you're exactly right. It's very encouraging for, you know, small and medium sized outfits. Ed, let's turn to this sort of placeholder weekend, right? I mean, everybody, nothing in California. Nice break for everybody to freshen up and get their horses ready for Del Mar. New York will wrap up with these 3 days and a nice card, particularly tomorrow. Weather is threatening and turf might be a little squishy, but, everybody's looking forward to next week. Meantime, there is some good action.
There is. I'm looking forward to it. I guess it's going to be soft. I don't know how the Belmont turf drains. That certainly makes things interesting. But what I saw from Gam's Mission at Churchill, I just kind of told myself I'm betting this horse back. This filly back no matter what. And, you know, with the presence of the Aiden O'Brien, Santa Barbara, I can't imagine not getting what I would consider a fair price on her. So, getting this one out to a mile and a quarter with that pedigree off what we've seen from her in her last three, I'm gonna keep riding the wave.
Interesting. All right. Of the three races, and they're all good, I thought the filly race, even with Santa Barbara at even money, I thought the filly race was competitive, and Gam's Mission was got a look. I'll tell you who I thought was worth considering, and including a Spanish Love Affair.
Sure. No, I mean, I think it's so hard to say. I mean, I agree with the line, but, you know, I also don't know if it's, you know, that soft. Will the money come in that much? But, gosh, I mean, it just seems like if you're willing to fade Aiden, which, you know, we all know the stats here, and I have a ton of respect for him, but, you know, in this spot, Gam's Mission, Spanish Love Affair, I would say he's going to end up being my second pick, so I'm kind of with you there. But Gam's Mission, my target in this race is definitely in the wind pool with her.
Very nice. All right, press on.
Less sexy, 2-1, but Australasia has already shipped into Belmont and won, and just, you know, whatever. Just with these Brads, like the ones he is okay with pressing with, they do okay. He's also, as we know, willing to give some time. You know, we've seen with Mandaloon, and it seems one thing I appreciate, and, you know, being at Churchill, see it firsthand about the operation, is it doesn't seem like it's kind of one size fits all with the horses. And with this Louisiana bred, who, you know, marched through Delta and Fairgrounds, would have made sense to give a break if needed, but I just kind of trust this barn. When they're going in the right way, they can keep going, even off, you know, what in modern times is shortest rest with the race every month. But this one's just the Brist numbers increased, shipping into Belmont, lifetime best. And, you know, then you look at the pace situation and should have whatever target Joel wants.
I don't know. I Cox, they've been so ginger with her in terms of, you know, picking spots, not necessarily trying to keep her undefeated, but there's real deep waters here for her.
Yeah. I feel like they're all in front of her, though. But, like, I definitely don't like a situation, you know, let's just take a state bred animal as an example, like, you know, Lisa's Booby Trap coming to mind, where they have to, you know, duel with a graded open animal. I find that to be a more difficult situation.
Sure.
Than when they can sit and kick.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what Jose Camejo is doing, if he's staying at Monmouth or if he's coming for the, you know, for the graded opportunity here. I don't see what's wrong with Overcharged as a consideration in here. You look at Miss Brazil, the race she ran at 6.5, actually, at Belmont. That would be very imposing in here. The Rudy filly that was second to Australasia, she's going to have to fire from the rail and is going to, potentially have company pretty quickly from Miss Brazil and possibly Overcharged. I think this is more complex than it might appear on paper. And the horse I don't know what to do with is the Wesley Ward. Is that Red Ghost? I don't know if she's fast enough. I'm just going to say, at what I'm sure is going to be a short price, Australasia is going to have to run her career best to win this.
Mm.
All right, fair enough.
All right,
Belmont. There you go. Belmont Derby.
I mean, it's a fantastic race. Like, this is as far as I'm guessing a test prep for some. I forget where the Prioress now is on the schedule, but this is a salty group with a lot of gas on the front end, so it should be a fun one.
How about the boys, the Derby, where Bolshoi Ballet will be the focus?
Yeah, and rightfully so. The group wins, and the Derby, or the Derby, maybe you say soft ground, maybe just not up to that class, although it was certainly bet heavily. I got to oppose again, though. Just between the default money and the sincere money, just sees that one being over bet. And one thing I thought was interesting, and I've talked about the class ratings before, that Brisnet does usually when the Euro ship over, they're head and shoulders above in that category. Just the way the racing is there at the group level, they're always running against other group horses that go on to win group races. So I'm usually, if it's a 1 or 2 point gap, I kind of think, okay, maybe we have a chance to compete. And then when you get into the 3-4 point gaps, like Goldakova was, it's pretty clear they're a standout. Well, in this case, Sainthood, it's just a tenth of a point behind Bolshoi Ballet. And we haven't seen him on turf yet, not for lack of trying, but I just kind of have to trust a Brisnet number. And I don't know that we'll end up getting 10-1. But again, with the O'Brien, I do think we'll get the right price. And the mile and a quarter is my biggest question. Not that the sires had a lot of opportunity at that distance, but I certainly think Pletcher has been eyeing turf for a while. Ended up being off last time and ran well. I just think I can't ignore even 6-1 on Sainthood here.
Hmm. All right. Well, you got a couple of alternates in the big features.
Even,
good for you.
Even that's Ellis good. Would be the other one I throw out. And the final time numbers haven't been great, admittedly. But of the American bred pedigrees, you might expect to see the average win distance. For both Big Blue Kitten and the Broodmare Sire English Channel, as I've seen in a while. So this one stretching out certainly gives me positive vibes. And, we'll see what Julian wants to do, because this one's been on the front end and closed as well. So maybe some options. But at a price, kind of to me as the look of one that might just get this distance and stick around to crash the verticals. But Sainthood, the top pick for sure.
Should mention the French bred and European campaigned Tokyo Gold, the Japanese connections bred by Mr. Yoshida. And Johnny is going to get aboard Tokyo Gold. And I bring focus here because I just saw, speaking of Japan, word from a couple of hours ago from Japan that Came Home passed away yesterday, colicked, and at the age of 22, Came Home has passed away. Had some particular affection. Our first horse, Someone Loves You, was a Came Home daughter, and I know anybody that. I'm thinking about Johnny DeSantis and Trudy McCaffrey. Came Home. That's too bad. All right, wanted to slip that in and tie it to the Japanese runner in the Belmont Derby. All right, what else, Ed?
That's all I got for this weekend. Indiana, took up my time, but definitely wanted to look at those stakes at Belmont, and obviously next week, looking forward to pumping up Saratoga. Brisnet has the plan for the summer meet, so those that play a lot, check that out. And I'll be sure to post a bunch of stats as well on social media all week.
What? Give a little preview of some of the some of the Del Mar and Saratoga options for players.
Yeah, well, so I hinted it with Brisnet, and that's at brisnet.com/plans. A bunch of meet long stuff for a few data files or PPs. The PPs are 40 for the meet, so it's a buck a day with the unlimited download. So people appreciate that. Some picks options and workout reports as well, which I know for these big summer meets, people like to avail themselves of the added info more than maybe a few other spots on the calendar. And then definitely be sure, I checked as we were on the air, nothing's live yet, probably on Monday once we get through the weekend promos. The Twin Spires definitely, coming out guns blazing to get people playing Saratoga and Del Mar on our platform, so be sure to opt into those offers, and going to do some traditional bet backs and hit it and split it and all that fun stuff, but just trying to give people some extra reasons, mainly money, to play Saratoga and Del Mar.
Ed DeRosa, everybody, Brisnet and Twin Spires getting you ready for and carrying you through Saratoga, undoubtedly, and we'll have plenty of conversation and analysis of the two big summer venues. Ed, this was fun. Have a great weekend. And actually, I'll be talking to you from Monmouth next Friday.
Oh, won't be at opening day, huh?
Oh, I'll be at opening day, but then turn around and. Yeah, I mean, you gotta get down there. Nothing I can do that, it's such a weird scenario that we're dealing with here. Between having the Haskell on that particular Saturday. I mean, it there's nothing you can do.
Right. So, total eclipse of the heart.
Well, I didn't really need things to start out like this. I mean, it's already demanding. Having to jog back and forth will be, we'll do the show Thursday from Saratoga for opening day, and then probably won't be able to stay for the Schuylerville and the quick call, but get on the road down to Oceanport, and so be it. And then I got to be back Sunday for TV.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's with Seth, we got loose on the lead. So it's going to be a little bit of a frantic few first days, but then we'll get into the steady beat. Are you coming to Vegas?
No, I'm not. EJ's birthday is the 26th, so.
Okay. All right.
I'll be at the Mr. D.
Nice.
Yeah, and in fact, real quick, I'll actually be there next week for the preview day. And for your Chicagoland listeners, Twin Spires is doing a big promo on track. So if you've been looking for a reason to get out to Arlington and haven't done it yet, come see us on preview day.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. So we'll talk. I'll be in Jersey. You'll be in Illinois. Nice.
That's right.
All right. Well, that means you got to go to Manny's.
Man, I don't know if I can pass up that Polish spot again though with the pierogies.
Well, all right. That's fair. That's well. You got room for a couple of.
When I'm there for Mr. D, it'll be multiple days. So if not next week, then in August for sure.
All right. All right, I'm going to hold you to that. We'll put you on the tour. And then we got to get you up to Izzy's as well.
Right, that's the easy one.
You would think right? Ed DeRosa, everybody, EJXD2. Ed, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Good luck, everyone.
Ed DeRosa. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Dave Grenig's going to join us in New York. Closing weekend, today, tomorrow, and Sunday. And then Dave ships north. We'll get his take. going into closing weekend at Belmont, and get some Harvey Pack from Reflections as well from Dave Grenick. Hour two at the races, back after this.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years.